In the name of Jesus, amen. Okay, I know it's pretty personal, but I've got to ask you a personal question. Have your peers, you know, that you work with, that have the same skill sets, have your peers ever thought that you were a mess? Don't answer it yet. It's even worse. And all the people that you thought cared about you, your family, when you got home, they all thought you were crazy. I know it's a personal question. Maybe you don't even want to raise your hand. But if your peers ever thought you were a mess, and your family thought that you were crazy, then you're in good company. Let me tell you why. This is the Holy Gospel, Mark chapter 3. Then Jesus went home, and the crowd gathered again so that they could not even eat. And when his family heard it, they went out to seize him, for they were saying, he is out of his mind. And the scribes who came from Jerusalem were saying, he is possessed by Beelzebub, and by the prince of demons he casts out the demons. And he called them to him and said to them in parables, how can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand, but is coming to an end. But no one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man, that indeed he may plunder his house. Truly I say to you, all sins will be forgiven the children of men, and whatever blasphemies they utter, but whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin. For they had said, he has an unclean spirit. And his mother and his brothers came, and standing outside, they sent to him and called him. And a crowd was sitting around Jesus, and they said to him, your mother and your brothers are outside seeking you. And he answered them, who are my mother and my brothers? And looking about at those who sat around him, Jesus said, here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of God, he is my brother and sister and mother. So if you answered yes, your peers thought you were a mess, and your family thought that you were crazy, you see you're in good company. But I would venture to say this, you took it a lot differently than Jesus did. You see, when we hear those kind of comments from our peers or from our family, it hurts. Now keep in mind, it's the scribes that come and conclude this. And the scribes, if anybody, knew the first five books of the Bible, frontwards and backwards. They were the lawyers of the day. They knew the law of Moses. They knew a real deal from a fake one. And what did they conclude? Jesus was Lord of the flies, the Lord over the dung heap. Oh, that's complimentary. And it's wrong. Doesn't hurt Jesus. Family is embarrassed. Family's embarrassed. They want to mitigate all the embarrassment that their family member has just leveled against the whole family, and so they want to come and get him out of the public eye. Now, when our family's embarrassed with us, we take it very personally. But here's the gospel. And I know, you know, we think of the gospel as Jesus dying on the cross, but think of the gospel also as Jesus facing everything and anything and then staying faithful. Here's the gospel. Jesus didn't buckle underneath the pressure. The peer pressure of his peers didn't faze him. He kept ministering. Of course, he had to warn them. You know, he talked about the sin against the Holy Spirit. Over my 25 years of ministry, I've had people concerned. And I often say, if you're concerned about sinning against the Holy Spirit, you haven't done it. It's the ones who could care less about Jesus and what he's done, his cross and the forgiveness that he works. They're the ones that could have done it because their hearts are hard. But then he talks about, you know, who his family is. You know, families are complicated subjects. Amen? All kinds of ways. You know, we live in a nation of families, and a lot of families are broken. They're struggling. They're exploding slowly in divorce. There are men and women, boys and girls, who don't even know what it means to be parented. Oh, they're getting stuff. But they're not being familied, mothered, fathered, parented. We have generations in our nation that really, they might make a six-figure income, but can they keep a marriage intact? Do they know what it means to raise a son, a daughter? No, because no one showed them. And in the midst of that mass of families in America, there's another family. It's called the family of God. It's made up of men and women, boys and girls, who are just chips off the sad, sinful block of Adam. You and me, and man, we're a mess. We fall short in all kinds of ways in the way that we think and talk and conduct ourselves, and yet there is someone who is in love with us, cares about us deeply, richly, across everything. We can even call him Dad, although we're used to calling him our Father. And that's the family that God has formed through his Son, through Jesus. And the good news here is that he doesn't buckle under the pressure to go along, to get along, to conform, just to conform. He's actually loving and caring and taking care of all the details so that God's family would be established on the gospel. And God's family is so different. In God's family, we are learning what it means to love and forgive and listen and learn and grow up together in God's ways and in his will. We're learning what it means to leave things at the cross and to trust that even if things look like a mess in our life, we're not going to give in to just the stinking thinking of pity parties and whatnot, but we're going to trust in what God has done through his Son. This family is different. And Jesus makes it different. And this is how this family is different. It's explained by the Apostle John, who writes, he came, that is Jesus, came to his own, and his own did not receive him. We've already heard about that. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood. Do we have to talk about the birds and the bees today? No? Okay. Not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, I'll adopt you, nor of the will of man. Somehow, you know, man's idea. The family of God was not conceived in our hearts and minds. It was in God's. It's part of God's will, eternal will, but of God. God's family is supernatural. It's not biological. It's not even religious. It's supernatural. It's made up of all who believe in and receive Jesus. You know, it's fascinating in the gospel readings where you see how people want to come and see Jesus. They've heard bits and pieces, but that's enough for the Holy Spirit to work faith in them so that they believe in Jesus, in his name, and so they draw near to him. You know, we've made evangelism a lot more complicated than it really needs to be. Tell what Jesus has done to the people around you and trust that the Holy Spirit will do the work. Share the message about how Jesus dies for sinners that fall short in the way they think, talk, and conduct themselves. Tell them how Jesus saves you from yourself because he loves you. See what happens. It's amazing. As people hear about the one who came, they believe in and receive him, and they become a family, unlike any and all the families of the world. Certainly a family of misfits, I guess you could say, but a family that is loved deeply and richly by our Heavenly Father. And that's the family you and I are in. You know, the family of God is so interesting. I grew up in a really cool family, very loving family. And then my dad died when I was 15, and my whole life just exploded apart. And Holy Communion kept me safe and forgiven, and boy, did I need it. Not that I need it less now. I always need forgiveness. How about you? Just as much today as yesterday. Amen? But it was a challenge. Romans 8:28 was the other thing that just held me in a spiritual, sane place for like 5 years before somehow God broke through my struggles and helped me understand things differently. But some people, man, you know, they've never had that. They're struggling with what a father is, what a family is. But we're learning. And there's still a lot for me to learn. How about you? What it means to be in God's family. You know, sometimes I joke by saying that I had to become a pastor to see the forest for the trees. I mean, I grew up in one home, you know, one church, a part of. I was the first acolyte historically in the church, you know, and all these crazy things. Dad was an elder many times and all kinds of other things. And yet I had to become a pastor to see the beauty of the pastor. You're beautiful. Church, by God's design, sometimes it's so hard to see. And this is like the fourth congregation I've served, but it's amazing how the family is so the same. Doesn't matter whether it's Minnesota or Louisiana or California or Texas. Y'all are about the same. God's family. You're beautiful. You're cool. To some of you, I'm your little brother. Maybe I should say snotty-nosed little brother. I drive you crazy, right? Right? Well, and for some of you, you're my big brothers and sisters, and I've had it up to here with some of you sometimes because you don't seem to be in it anymore. But what's the difference? I'm not going to run away. You don't have to run away because we're God's family. And whose grace makes us stay? God's. Because the head of the family has a great attitude about you and me all the time for the sake of his son. Amen? And what a gift it is to know, so that we can learn what it means to wrestle with the issues, to talk in love, to learn together, to grow up together, to try things, crash and burn, and love each other and say, well, let's try it again, but let's not go that direction because that wasn't so beneficial. That's the family. That's how God's family works. You know, we live in a culture where there's so many families. They're scattered. They're broken. They don't like each other. All they do is fight. And yet they want to belong so much. We can show them how. We're like God's alternative lifestyle to the people of North Texas. And as we go through the issues in our lives, in our relationships with our family, our neighbors, they get a chance to see the characteristics of God's family, which is so different than the families of the world. I mean, it's fascinating. We're Jesus. How did he say it? Brother and sister and mother. It's kind of hard to figure out some of the things he says. But in short, we're in. And what does it mean to be in? And looking about at those who sat around him, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of God, he is my brother and sister and mother." So, whoever does the will of God, family. Well, are we? Let's read this together. "For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." That's it. Jesus, the will of my Father is this, that they look upon and believe in Jesus. That's what it's all about. That's the solid foundation of our God's family. And believing in and looking upon the one who went the way of the cross for all the ways that we've fallen short, all the ways we've rebelled against God, for all the ways we've run away from God saying the old man doesn't have a plan, only to realize, my goodness, God's ways are a whole lot better. And I'm learning that better and quicker than I used to. But I still venture out. You see, it's in Christ that the light outside of God's home is always on. And it's in Christ that there's always a place around his table for us to receive what we need so much to live out in the strength of our Father, our life. It's in Jesus that we can stand strong and give it all we've got and fall on our face, say, "Lord, I feel like such a failure, but I'm not going to give into that because I'm yours." That's what God's family is like. It gives us a confidence and a certainty that others wish they had. And we're so thankful for our dad and what he does and how he cares for us. Because he's completed his will in us through his Son. Not only is the family of God supernatural, the family of God holds on to Jesus, looks to, trusts in, across whatever we're going through and dealing with, and reminding each other to do the same, because it's not easy. Sometimes your big brother, little brother, depending on where I'm at with you, needs your reminder. And I know you need mine as well. And that's what the family of God does. We speak the truth of what God's love is to each other. And in this amazing family, we're learning what it means to grow up. You know, there are people that claim to be Christians, and the way they carry out their life is so immature. The way they deal with problems, the way they deal with the people around them. And what God would have us do in his family is to grow up. It's nice to see my kids growing up, but then I start going, "But I don't want them to ever leave. Oh, now I want them to leave." You know, it's just amazing, these dynamics. Yesterday, Kate passed her driving test. I'm thinking, golly, do I have enough cars for everyone who's going to drive, especially if they start breaking down like they have been? You know, these family dynamics are so cool, and they're so intense, and they're scary at times. But God would have us grow up. God would have St. Paul Lutheran Church grow up. You know, I don't know the history of this congregation. I haven't been here but for 4 years. I don't know what your history is like, but your history, my history, the history of this congregation is all in the mercy of God. He loves us. And in that mercy, he expects us to learn and to understand what the will of God is. This is how Paul says it. "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to the Lord, to God, which is your spiritual worship." So, present your bodies as living sacrifices. You don't have to kill yourself, but present yourself to the Lord as a living sacrifice. Holy because of what Jesus has done, acceptable to God because of what Jesus has done. So live out your whole life as an act of spiritual worship. I know we're so We've so compartmentalized worship to something that just happens on a Sunday morning for a little while. Your whole life is an act of worship. Driving around the Metroplex for me was a very difficult worship service to attend when I first got here. I'm doing a little bit better. My family knows sometimes I'm not liking the worship service and I need to be forgiven before I can really engage. But look, across your life, all the things you do is your spiritual act of worship. And where you fall short and you fail, you know, you want to just run away from being a husband or a wife or a dad or a mom or a boss or an employee. Say, okay, Lord, forgive me. I know this is a part of my worship. I want to serve you, Lord. Forgive me. You see, we can worship God in the strength of his grace. That's why believing in Jesus is what it's all about in God's family. But there are things that God would have us understand. You know, Paul goes on to say, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. By testing, you may discern what is the will of God, what is the good and acceptable and perfect. So even here today, we're learning what it means to exercise the will of God, to understand what it means that at an informational meeting between services, we're learning from each other, we're growing up in our identity of mission and ministry as a church, because we're not done growing yet. And that there are things for us to do to impact North Texas like no other family that's a part of God's family, i.e. other LCMS churches and whatnot, can do. We don't have to be a fake family let's be like Messiah Lutheran Church. Let's be St. Paul Lutheran Church. Let's be who we really are. Let's learn what that means together. You know, I look at these pictures that I pulled out of storage yesterday, and I just, man, all kinds of memories flood. And I especially look at the family that I'm a part of right now, and there's been so much that has taken place. But there's a whole lot more, and it's going to be different. But in God's grace, I'll learn more what that means. And for us, as a congregation, there's a whole lot more as we continue to grow up in God's will and ways for us as a church, whatever that means, across whatever that means, as we learn what it means to be family. Not just any kind of family, but God's family. And as he looks at you across all you are, have been, are, will be, he loves you. He loves you. You're beautiful. You're awesome. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God, the peace that goes beyond all that we understand, may that peace from God guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.